Hello and welcome to the show. On today's episode, we'll talk about how 2022 Walt Disney World vacation packages are now available to be booked. We'll also talk about takeaways and highlights from Disney's quarter one earnings call and how Disney has added four additional hotels to their Gateway collection. We'll also talk about a Disney thing that we're excited about these days, and we will give our own answers to the question that we posed on Facebook last week about if we could only visit One World Showcase Pavilion, which one would it be and why? All this and more on today's episode from points around the state of Florida. You're listening to The Diz Unplugged. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 1115 for February 16th, 2021. Happy Mardi Gras. About this time, if it was a normal year, our own Corey Martin would be in the heart of the French Quarter, and we just send out our love to him right now and to all of you who are celebrating Mardi Gras. Craig, could you say it? You say it. You do it a whole lot better.
Laissez les bon temps rouler. It's about being as offensive as possible with that.
It's all good. So we are just really glad that you guys are here with us. And of course, you've just seen my friends, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce them anyhow. I am joined here at our virtual roundtable by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And executive producer, Craig Williams.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And as a title.
It's his fancy title.
It was in the script. I don't know.
There you go. As always, we are sponsored by Dreams Unlimited Travel. We just want to remind you that if you want to sponsor, if you want to help out the Diz, the best way to do it is to book a Disney vacation with the agents over at Dreams Unlimited Travel. If you're looking to come back to the magic in 2021 or 2022, those agents are experts and can help you as little or as much as you want with your big vacation. So just reach out to them and they can help you at no additional cost, which is pretty fantastic. Also, our hearts go out to those who are waiting for impending snow or ice right now. We know that Maryland is due to get it. So maybe put some extra marshmallows in your cup of cocoa today because y'all deserve it. And
our friends always in Texas too.
Yes, friends. Texas got snow. They were all of a flutter about that. It's pretty amazing. And also, we want to say hi to live chat. If you are in the chat room right now, we have a chat room running every Tuesday at 1 p.m. And those are pretty amazing people. And we get to kind of pop in there and talk with them during the show. We'd love for you to be a part of it. So come on by. So thankful you guys are on the show today. And John, you have graciously accepted the job of being the news person for the day. And so I wish we had some do-do-do-do-do-do-do news music for you. But we'll get right to it with news story number one.
Let me just start by saying I was volunteered. I got the email from Denny that said you're doing the news. So let's everyone thinks Denny's so sweet, Denny's so nice. I'm just kidding. I'm happy.
I plead the fifth.
All right, our first news story: 2022 Walt Disney World vacation packages are now available. I'm not going to read the story word for word because I've been living this since about 7 a.m. this morning. So let me tell you what I know. First of all, we're very excited. This is the first time that Disney has ever released Walt Disney World packages this early for the following year. So it's very, very exciting. You can book up to 500 days in advance based on your arrival date. So you can't book all of 2022 yet. It's going to be on a rolling basis. So every day you'll be able to book 500 days out. And I want to make sure folks know that that's 500 days from your arrival date, and you will be able to book your length of stay for the package. And for Walt Disney World packages, those length of stays maximum are 14 days. Also want to point out that the usual 11 months out for Disney Vacation Club accommodations applies here as well. Really nice. You can add tickets to your 2022 package. What's great about this is that they are at 2021 pricing still. Ticket pricing has not been raised yet for 2022, so you can lock in your ticket pricing now. You can add park hopping. You can also add Park Hopper Plus to your tickets. And what's really cool is that Disney has put out their Park Pass calendar through the middle of January of 2023. So once you book your reservation and you have your tickets and you link it to My Disney Experience, you'll be able to make your park reservations for next year. Just a reminder, a couple of things. These packages that are coming out for 2022 will be pretty much identical to what's been launched in 2021. So things like Disney's Magical Express will be available, and also no Comp Magic Bands and no dining, unfortunately, yet. We're hoping that that changes. Mm-hmm. So just think of what you could book in 2021, you can now book in 2022. And it goes the same for the resorts. If the resort was not bookable in 2021 for whatever reason, you still can't book it in 2022 yet, but hopefully those will open up. And all of the same booking terms and conditions apply. So agents have been working hard this morning to get clients and new folks 2022 quotes. No obligation quote, doesn't cost you anything. Just go in our system and fill out a form. If your date is not available yet, cannot be booked yet, it's outside of that 500-day window, we will hold your request and we will just book it and give you a price when it's available. So easy squeezy for you.
Awesome.
That's all I have for that. Anybody have anything to add?
Well, and I was just going to say, John, if anything comes online that isn't currently online, so if we're waiting for like Port Orleans, you know, French Quarter, Riverside, one of the two to open, and that's really where we want to go. I mean, if can we tell our agent that, and our agent can keep an eye out for it, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, positively. Okay. They'll book you whatever's available now. And if you tell them you're waiting for this to open, as soon as they know they can book it, they'll do it. This is a big deal because of club level. Club level is not available now, not available for 2022 yet. So as soon as that opens up, we'll be going back and booking that for all of our clients who want that as well. So, yeah, good point. If it's not available now, let us know and we will do it for you.
Awesome.
I'm excited that 2022 is out. You know, this is something that Disney's done kind of, you know, I give them credit for seeing the big picture, right? You give them credit for saying, listen, you know, we know that a lot of people are still wary about traveling this year. So let's give them a little bit of ray of hope, a little bit of sunshine, mm-hmm. and let them book for 2022.
And I know a lot of people are sticking with this, like at the point of having park reservations still through all of 2022. But a lot of the issues with park reservations that happened when the parks first opened up, it's just not happening anymore. There are select days, like this last weekend was just President's Day weekend, and then throw on top of that too, some of the people who always travel this time of year, right around like Mardi Gras and come down to Florida, you know, some of them showed up as well too. So it's a very, very busy weekend, I should say, because mm-hmm. it's getting better all week. It's still a little spotty here and there, but like this was a really busy weekend, and some of the availability was sold out, like I think on Saturday and Sunday for annual pass holders. But for the average, I don't want to say the average hotel guest, because they're all the same. They're all hotel guests with tickets, but I didn't see any availability missing if you had a hotel on property. And for theme park day tickets only, that looked pretty good too. There was some parks that were sold out, but on top of that, now that we do have the park hopping back and available, even if that park that you want in the morning isn't there anymore, that doesn't mean you can't just park hop in the afternoon. And I haven't experienced yet where park hopping has been not an option after 1 o'clock. Every time I call the hotline, all parks are available. So like yesterday was a perfect example. I wanted to go to Magic Kingdom, but the only thing available for me day of to book was Epcot. So I went to Epcot for an hour and a half. And then once it got to the point that it was like 1:30, then I took off and went to Magic Kingdom and spent the rest of my day there. So it's park reservations. They're not great in terms of I don't want to have to do all of this extra planning if you're not that type of Disney person, but they're not going to completely hold you back, especially if you are staying on property. It's just, it's an easier way for Disney to gauge who's coming and where people want to go. And it's one of those frustrating things for us, but it's not as bad as it seemed at the beginning.
Yeah, definitely. And Disney has to sort of, I apologize, Danny.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead.
You know, and also Disney has to kind of deal with the world that we have now. So what they have to say is they're going to assume that 2022 is going to be the same. But we all know that, you know, knock wood, thank goodness, cases are coming down and things are getting better and vaccines are rolling out. So, you know, we hope and think that in 2022, you won't need park passes anymore, that people will just be able to go to a theme park. But they're just reacting to what it is now. So, you know, let them do it.
Yep. And it's important to remember on those days, like Saturday, for annual pass holders, you could not get a park pass, like you said, Craig. So everyone who couldn't get a park pass went to Disney Springs. So like if you fall into that category and you're listening, you're watching and you're thinking, okay, on that day, I'll go to Disney Springs. Also remember that there are a bunch of other people who haven't been able to get park passes as well and are thinking the same thing. Like Disney Springs on Saturday afternoon and evening was jam-packed to the point where I said, okay, I'm going to go now. Like I was going to hang out and stay. And I just made the decision to go ahead and move on out. But just to bear that in mind, and that'll be so nice when we don't have to make those park passes anymore. Like John is saying, you know, there's light on the horizon. So that's going to be a great thing. That's for sure. All right, John, are you ready for news story number two?
I am. I'm ready for news story number two. We're going to talk about key takeaways from Disney's first quarter earnings call. The Walt Disney Company reported earnings for its first fiscal quarter ending January 2nd, 2021. And the most notable impact on operating income was an estimated loss of approximately $2.6 billion. It was noted that the results from the quarter were greatly impacted by COVID-19, with the greatest impact stemming from the Disney Parks, Experiences, Product segment due to lengthy closures, reduced capacity, and the suspension of Disney Cruise Line voyages. Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Bob Chapek said in a written message, quote, "We believe the strategic actions we're taking to transform our company will fuel our growth and enhance shareholder value, as demonstrated by the incredible strides we've made in DTC business, reaching more than 146 million total paid subscriptions across our streaming services at the end of the quarter. We're confident that with our robust pipeline of exceptional high-quality content and the incoming launch of our new star-branded international general entertainment offering, we are well positioned to achieve even greater success going forward." Chapek mentioned that work is underway on Harmonious, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. He said these additions will make the park, quote, "more Disney, more family friendly, and more magical." He also said that he is pleased with the progress thus far on Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. But notably, there was no mention of Tron Light Cycle Power Run roller coaster coming to the Magic Kingdom. At Disneyland, Avengers Campus is currently scheduled to open later in May of 2021. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will be coming to Disneyland Park in 2023. Here are some of the most important items to note from the call. Disneyland is expected to remain closed at least through the entirety of the second quarter. We may have more news on that for you later in the show. Mm-hmm. Walt Disney World is still operating at 35% of its prior COVID-19 capacity, and any increases will be determined by the rate of vaccinations. Disney Plus went from 86.8 million subscribers on December 2nd, 2020, to 94.9 million subscribers on January 2nd, 2021. Domestic theme parks lost $798 million in the quarter, where international parks lost $262 million. All of the Disney theme parks that were open during the quarter operated at a profit. So that's an interesting statement, right? It's saying, well, we lost $798 million, but we operated at a profit. That just goes to show the impact of Disneyland on domestic product, you know?
Absolutely.
Crickets? Anybody? Yep. Bueller? Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We love numbers.
Yeah. The one big takeaway, I think, for a lot of people, too, and this was when Bob Chapek, you know, with the mask comment, where he said that masks will definitely be in the parks through 2021, but definitely saying that 2022, that it could be, could be a complete different place without them. And I know that's been a sticking point for a lot of people looking to come back. So they don't want to be in Florida in masks. And I completely understand and get that. But overall, it was a weird quarter earnings call. But I feel like they're all weird anymore, especially right now.
Well, he's got to explain why there's no shareholder profit, and he's got to say why things are the way they are. However, the stock is rising incredibly. So,
oh yeah, anyone who bought into the stock back when it hit its dip, what, around like 80 or so, yeah. They've more than doubled whatever they put into that. So good for them. That's always good news, and I love these earning calls because I get to hear like EBITDA over and over again, and I'm still not sure I understand what it is or what it means. I can see Rhino can't either, based on that look on his face.
Yeah. It just made a noise to me. I don't know. EBITDA.
I'm going to jump in here for just a second. This seems like a good place to put this in. Adventures by Disney has canceled all Backstage Magics for July and August of 2021. They will not be going back to Disneyland until the earliest September. They had canceled up till June 30th. There's only 30 days in June. And they just recently have canceled July and August. So if you were planning...
Well, that's not an indication directly of Disneyland's closure, because they have to deal with, when you do a Backstage Magic, there's a lot of other things you go and do and see that puts people in enclosed places. So it could be limited by those things, but I think that's a pretty good indication of where they think.
There's also some time on a bus, and people want to do the good stuff. They want to go to Imagineering in the studios. And I'm guessing those things are what are keeping people from doing. That's definitely it. I'm done.
Thank you. Thanks, Kevin. All right. Let's head to news story number three, John.
All right, here we go. News story number three, drum roll. Disney adds four hotels to Gateway Collection. Four new hotels have just been added to Walt Disney World's Gateway Hotel Collection. Residence Inn by Marriott, Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott, Homewood Suites by Hilton, Home 2 Suites by Hilton. These properties can now be booked as part of a Walt Disney World vacation package. And these hotels' convenient location makes it easy to visit the theme parks, and guests can receive select benefits to add a little more magic to their Walt Disney World Resort stay. Just my little sort of added take on these is they can be booked into 2022 as part of a package along with regular Walt Disney World hotels. And two things I learned that I didn't know is that every resort has a complimentary breakfast buffet, and every hotel is pet friendly. So I think those are some really great options for folks traveling.
Fantastic. For those who are listening, or watching and you're wondering where in the world like Flamingo Crossing is and where these Gateway hotels are, Flamingo Crossing itself can be found at the end of Western Way. So if you take the road that runs alongside of Coronado Springs, so Buena Vista Drive, and then you'll take Western Way, you go out through the Western Way exit. There's actually a Walt Disney World gate there. So you exit out of there and then it'll kind of, it doesn't dead end. The road doesn't dead end, but you can clearly see, oh, this is where the stuff is. These hotels are, there's a couple that have been there for a couple of years. And then the Hilton ones are brand spanking new, so much so that last Wednesday I could not get into the lobby of the Homewood Suites because it was still officially under construction. But it's a really nice looking area. Oh, and I like those desserts there, Craig. That was good. Yeah.
I spent all the time. I spent all that time getting the photos in order, and then I blow it.
Okay, we can talk about snacks anytime. But if you're booking these hotels, there will eventually be a big town center area just across from them. It's not there yet. It's still very under construction, but these hotels are lovely. They're brand new. They are spacious. The lobby, I've not seen the rooms, of course, but the lobby area is really nice. And you can be on Disney property in a hop, skip, and a jump. So if that helps you.
Excellent.
All right.
All right. Wait, yeah,
thank you. Go ahead.
That'll do it for the news.
Oh. Excellent.
Feels like the old times.
Sure does.
John has closure. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, John, for doing the news. I appreciate it. Welcome. All right. Housekeeping. Anybody have any housekeeping today?
I'm going back to thinking about our friends in the middle of the country. Mm-hmm. We have friends who live in Texas, and the temperature this morning is 1. And she has a thick layer of ice on her pool and no power. One of our dreams agents is without power in Texas. Mm. So we are thinking about you as we sit by our pool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, to be out of power in an ice storm or in a snowstorm, that's scary stuff right there. Absolutely. Anything? Rhino, do you have anything?
No.
Okay.
I was trying to think if I did, but I'm really very unexciting right now. I don't know.
What's your shirt that you have on?
It's this Buc-ee's. Apparently, this is a gas station that people go crazy for. Trey Griffin sent me this shirt after I mentioned it, mentioned the mascot on the show once, and so he sent me this and some beaver nuggets. Do you guys know what beaver nuggets are?
Beaver nuggets.
They're essentially.
It's what gives beavers a
new voice. Yeah. It's this, like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. It's like a cornmeal type of treat that tastes kind of like a softer version of caramel corn, but Smacks cereal. Does anybody remember that with the frog?
Oh,
the
honey mascot? Smacks. Sugar Smacks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sugar. Mm. Yeah.
Yum.
And so, I ate that whole bag, so it's fine.
But okay, well, it's a cute shirt. Love it. Craig, do you have any gas stations we need to be eating at?
If you're in the greater Pennsylvania area, yeah. Sheetz, of course. Sheetz. Mm-hmm. Better than Wawa. I will live and die by that every single day. Sheetz is better. But no gas station talk. I did want to give a quick shout out. I know we don't do this very often, but I met two awesome people yesterday in Epcot, Brendan and Alicia. So just wanted to give a shout out to them because they were nice. So that's all it takes. It's all you have to do is be nice and I'll say your name.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll say your name if you're nice.
That's all it takes. But yeah, no, that's it for me. And then all the normal stuff that we do, please make sure that you're liking this show right now. Hit that thumbs up button here on YouTube and make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And, if by any chance you're one of those people who decides you don't want to subscribe to our channel, maybe like leave in the comments why you don't want to watch anymore. I'm going to start asking people for exit polls as they exit us. But, that sounded gross at the end. But anyways, yeah, all the good normal housekeeping that we do. And of course, look for all our other YouTube channels we have for the other content that we offer.
Excellent. Thank you, Craig. John or Kevin, anything else?
I'm saving mine for my 5 minutes of fame.
Okay. That's it. 5 minutes. All right. Perfect. Of course, I want to mention Magic Candle Company because we do have a discount code for Magic Candle Company. If you go to magiccandlecompany.com and use the discount code DisneyInfo, it's going to save you 15%. Free shipping is still happening. So It's there if you want it, which I personally love that we have free shipping on those candles. They've got a lot of great theme park and resort inspired scented candles. So be sure to check them out. So we are now going to transition into a segment just talking about some Disney things that have us excited, jazzed, interested, or not so much these days. And who would like to go first? Anybody?
I mean, mine's not park related. Is that okay?
That is okay.
I feel like I need to. Okay, I was like, I feel like I need to use this forum, yes, to apologize about yes, about WandaVision. Great, let me speak about how I said the first two episodes were slow pacing for me. And I didn't like, I basically said what they're saying wasn't funny to me and all that stuff. But I need everybody to know that I stand here corrected, that it was exactly as I had originally said and hoped it would be, which was this thing that was just ramping up to be this really fun mystery. And I do think they really nail the shows that they're kind of, referencing and all of the tropes of like sitcoms and things like that. And I am just loving the journey that we are on as a viewer. And it makes me very, very excited to see how this all kind of wraps up and plays out. And I'm really into it. So I was wrong in the beginning and I'm glad I was wrong.
This is the WandaVision support group now.
Yes, yes, thank you. I am going to tell you, I will be devastated. I think I'm going to be emotionally devastated when this show is over, because I know that it is just going, because the show is about grief, essentially. I know that it's going to be sad when it ends. And like, I don't know if I'm going to be ready for it. It's fine. It's fine.
I know.
I'm just here for the donuts.
Well, we can talk about donuts. I mean, we've got things to say about donuts. That's for sure.
I went back to the salty donut after our last show. We talked about the donuts again. So,
okay, which one is the one that you recommend the most? Because I've still not been.
I still think the Butterbeer donut is my favorite. I think it is just so good. Like, and then I had a Cookie Crunch one where they bake Oreos right into the batter now. Oh my gosh. That one was real good too. Real good.
Okay.
Yeah. I decided that before my heart, my CT scan for my heart, I was just going to fill myself with donuts and, regret and everything like that. So I'm sure that when that scan comes back, they're going to be like, sir, are you part pastry?
What? Sir, what have you been doing? That is so funny. I love it. Yeah, I went to Everglazed and tried the sweetheart donut that they were doing for Valentine's Day. I put a review up on the Diz. I don't know. It was supposed to be strawberry. I don't know where the strawberry was. It tasted like straight up sugar. I mean, it was beautiful to look at. Lovely and over the top, but my goodness. So yeah, so salty donut is still on my to-do list.
How was that the Girl Scout one that you got too? I saw that you got that one, right?
I did. And it was, you know, there's a review. I did an article. I did a dining show quick take for it too. And it had potential. It wasn't as minty as I wanted it to be. Like to say this is chocolate and mint buttercream, we need three things in that buttercream. We need chocolate, we need mint, and we need a whole lot of butter. And it really kind of fell flat for me. Like same with the sweetheart donut. If you're going to tell me there's strawberry, then give me strawberry, please. So I don't know, maybe it's me and I'm missing something along the line, but I want those flavors really dialed up. If we've got the aesthetics, that donut looking dialed up, let's have the flavor match it.
I really want to hear other people, like, I'm going to go through and read the comments on your videos, because I really do want to know what people who are visiting Disney Springs, what they think of this new location. Just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know what donuts they're getting that they actually really go. Cause I mean, you see the Instagram stories that Everglaze puts up and everybody's goo-gooing all over the place about these donuts. So I want to know which ones they're having.
Have you guys noticed this trend too with people pulling food apart? I don't understand this. We're in a time where I think hands are the grossest part of the human body, and they're just like, look at my fingers, look at me pull this apart. Mm. And I'm like, yes. I don't, that doesn't make me want to eat it anymore.
No, I personally like to get a knife and cut it for a cross-section shot. Like, I do want to know what the inside of that donut looks like. Like, because I know, Rhino, you like stuff in your donut, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I want to see that cross-section of the donut, but I'm not, like, people, like you said, people are tearing apart those donuts with their hands, and I kind of go, oh, my hands would be so gross after doing that. So.
Right now, if hands are the grossest part of the human body, what can they pull the donor apartment with?
If it's not Craig Williams' mouth, it's not worth it. It's not. Remember the days where we'd put a hot dog in our mouths at the same time, Craig? That was the day.
I do. I would still do that, but I started
reading
comments.
Was that your first date?
Yeah.
First, I think that's second, where COVID third. Started.
Potentially. It is potentially. They say it's up from other places, but I'm pretty sure that Rhino and I started when we got too close together and shared a hot dog. But
who was Lady and who was the tramp?
I like to believe we're a little bit of both.
Yeah, I feel like I've got the floppy hair of Lady and the color scheme of Lady. So even though Rhino might be the Lady, I feel like I'm more
Lady.
I'm
Peggy Lee.
Yeah.
Like the over the shoulder. He's a tramp.
Mm. We're not just talking about this donut thing, are we? I always think you want to be
Peggy. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay, moving on. Anybody else?
You got 5 minutes out of donuts. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here that week, Kevin.
It was supposed to be WandaVision, but.
We can talk about donuts until the cows come home. But I'm right. I'm glad you brought. Yep, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you John and my conversation about donuts. John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Should we get the box of Enemans that's buy one, get one free?
Exactly. Well, they are buy one, get one free. How could you pass up that? You have to buy them.
You're wasting money.
Conversation over.
Those are good donuts. Enemans donuts.
You're all chocolate ones. That's our conversation now. We don't pull them apart. We don't take pictures of them. We don't
have to take a. We need to see that on your Twitter feed, Kevin. We need to see a cross section of your Entenmann's donut.
We do start at different ends of the donut and eat towards each other. That we do.
Just walking in a circle, doing
it. Walk in a circle.
Perfect.
Hey, I have something that's not donut related.
Perfect.
So I'm very excited to let folks know that we've kind of now ready to relaunch the Diz Family Reunion 2021. This is the event that Give Kids the World has put together in March of 2021 that had to be canceled due to COVID, due to some other restrictions. But it is back on September 9th through September 11th of 2021 is the event. And there's a whole bunch of great stuff going on. If you check out their website, you'll be able to see performers and guests and all sorts of cool stuff that they're doing. But the event is going to end on the 11th with an exclusive private party at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Yay! What happened was if you had tickets from the last event, you could keep them. Or you could have returned them for a full refund. So at this point, all of the VIP tickets are gone. Can't get any more VIP tickets. But there's a couple hundred of the regular convention tickets left. And this also would include a couple hundred of the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge event tickets left. It's going to be $199 to attend the convention and an additional $199 if you want to go to the event at Galaxy's Edge. You have to book the convention in order to book the party at Galaxy's Edge. If you go to their website again, you're going to be able to see a whole bunch of information, all the great performers and everybody that they were able to secure. I want to also let folks know about rooms. In March, we held a room block with Disney for this event to lock in rooms and secure rates for people. We started to look into it for September, and we decided not to do it. We weren't getting really good rates, and also knowing how things have been and should be at that time of year, we expect that Disney will probably have some discounts. So you're going to do much better if you book your room through Dreams Unlimited Travel. You don't have to. That's not a requirement for attending the event or attending the party, but you could just book a room or however you want to book it. But if you book through Dreams Unlimited Travel, we can help you coordinate all of that stuff. Contact your agent. If you don't have an agent, you can contact me, John at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and I will get you to an agent. I want to point out that you don't have to book with Dreams Unlimited Travel to attend the event, and also, you know, the other way around. So, you know, feel free to do what you want. Feel free to do whatever is comfortable for you. At this point in time, we're not offering anything to folks who book through us other than our regular services, where we will continue to look for discounts and apply those discounts and do your trip planning with you. I was going to say one more thing. Oh, yeah. We're going to do a live podcast during the event. So this is Craig's first time hearing this. I'm sure, you know, already he's nervous. But we don't know when exactly, but they have secured some space for us that we'll be able to use during the event, and we'll be having a live show. You have to have a convention ticket if you want to attend the live podcast taping. Awesome. I believe Stephen Amos is in chat at the moment. He's our rep from Give Kids the World. He's the person who arranged all of this. So if you have questions, you can write to him directly in chat, and he'll be happy to answer those for you. That's it.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Steven's awesome. So yeah, any info you need from him, he's going to get back to you on that. Excellent. Thank you, John. Anybody else have anything Disney that they are excited about these days?
I'm excited that the Brandy version of Cinderella is on Disney Plus with Whitney Houston.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So glad that's coming to it. Craig, you got anything?
Yeah, I wanted to give a little update. Last week, I was able to do a quick little media event with Disney where we went to Disney Springs and got to get a better look at what was happening there for the Black History Month event, the Celebrate Soulfully. And I know Denny didn't have a lot of I'm trying to look for the right word here.
I'm waiting to hear what word you come up with.
I know it's Denny was, I don't want to say like you were negative about it. I don't want to.
Disappointed.
Mm-hmm. You felt like there could have been more, and I would say that I absolutely 100% felt the exact same way. It was so weird. It just felt like in terms of what they did to help celebrate, like inside the Marketplace Co-op, they put up three poster boards of some of the Black artists and storytellers who have worked for the Walt Disney Company. And that was how they celebrated them, which is like great. They should be shown off more places, but it was like in the most random location at the back of the co-op, where some of the purses are, and there was some art from Wonderground Gallery. It just, none of it really made sense, and it kind of just like it kept going that way anywhere we went. The best part of it is they have some murals that are on some of the walls that are actually really beautiful. But that's kind of it. Like, even the most meta moment for me was when I was coming down the escalator out of the orange garage, and they had a saxophone player playing right down at the bottom of the orange garage. And I'm like, okay, well, saxophone, they're going for jazz. Clearly he's going to play more than just jazz music, maybe some new hits. And it is part of, I believe his plane is supposed to be part of the celebrations that they're having right now. And he was playing from the Hamilton soundtrack, You'll Be Back, which I got caught off guard by that. I'm like, that's like the weirdest song to be playing as you're entering Disney Springs for Celebrate Soulfully. But not to go on and on and on about that too much, I'm going to bring back up the cake that I showed earlier, because they did debut recently. The Tiana cake, as well as a soul cake at Amaret's Patisserie. And they are both the exact same cake. It's a chocolate cake with a layer of like raspberry gelatin and then also raspberry mousse. And I was given a free one by Disney, and I brought it home to eat. And I was going to do a video review of it, but then I just ate it when I got hungry, because that's what happens with cake. And I have had a lot of desserts from Amaret's Patisserie, but I have not had any of their cakes, especially since they've been getting really fancy with the petite cakes, like the WandaVision cakes that they've rolled out every week and such. And it was one of those things. It was a free cake, so I said for a free cake, it was okay. Thanks, Disney. But it was not a great cake. They have so many better desserts there that are a lot more fairly priced. So if you're going to Amaret's Patisserie, I know your instinct is going to be get the pretty cake, but I would actually avoid that. Like in these cakes in particular, they were just, it was so much fondant. So it was like I was just eating all this sugar and not getting enough out of the cake. It didn't let the cake flavors actually stand on their own. And it's disappointing, because I feel like of all of the Disney desserts that they make on property, like the two of the best that you can find are Amaret's Patisserie as well as the Ganacherie. There's good stuff at both of them, but they need to not bury it in fondant. Like it's starting to get to the point where it's like we're going back to the mid 2000s when cake decorating shows were all the rage, and just let the product stand for itself and try to make it look pretty. Don't necessarily just rely on it being pretty to sell it. But I would maybe try another one again in the future. But yeah, I'm a little scared away from that. And
I think that's true of like everything at Disney. You know, for some reason, the cakes at Disney, they pay more attention to making them pretty than making them taste good.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Other stuff is delicious. So you're better going to be off going for that. That seems to be always the problem with Disney cakes, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I feel like, too, it also didn't help me when I got to the cake. And again, it was a free cake, but I don't really like the combination of chocolate and then with a fruit, whether it's raspberry or strawberry. That's not my jam. And so it didn't help on top of that too, but beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cakes. Just flavor wise, too much fondant. Didn't grab me. And yeah, I think that's all I have to really speak on that. And I do want to go to one other place with this. And I did go to Epcot after the event was over, and I was back again yesterday, like I said, and I got a chance to see the Leave a Legacy walls in person now. I know that was a big topic of last week's show, and I know we offended a lot of people by our discussion on it. And I can't speak for Pete. I can only speak for what I said about it and none of the other people on the team. I am a mess of a person in that I don't know how to dress myself and coordinate myself and do my hair. And I can see that, but I am that type of person. When I look at something and I don't like an aesthetic look of it, I say it out loud immediately, yet I can't even make myself look good. And
every time he says, clearly, he says it.
What's that?
I said, every time you see me in person, you say it.
Yeah. And I
don't like the look of you.
Yes. Well, that's for other reasons. But so that's where I'm saying is like, you've seen videos of me looking like a mess. Clearly when we share our opinions about this stuff, there, you know, it's sometimes we make jokes and we can be a tad on the mean side from time to time, but most of the time it is just jokes. I still think the old design of Leave a Legacy was completely ugly and ruined the park entrance. I'm not making a statement about the people's faces that were on Leave a Legacy. And I didn't realize so many people used Leave a Legacy as a memorial for their families. So that was very eye-opening to me. And I think that is beautiful. And it makes me dislike the new walls even more that they kind of just put them off to the side and didn't put a lot of effort into them, and then also made the walls nearly 10 feet tall, so you can't even see them at the top. But I wanted to make sure I made that clear, that I'm not insulting the people who did it. I don't understand that. To me, I would never spend money to do that, the same way I said I would never buy the bricks. But that's just, I don't understand that. I'm not insulting you for wanting to do something like Leave a Legacy. And I think if you have even better reasons behind doing it, then that's perfectly fine. I attach weird emotions to other stuff in my life, too, that you would think is really bizarre. Hence why I have $1,000 of ceramic sitting right behind my shoulder that I would cry if even the one I hate the most on there broke right now. So it's just, I thank you.
My whole family's on Leave a Legacy.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
My whole family is on Leave a Legacy.
Yep.
And we did it. We had a joke. We were talking to my mom and dad, and they're both gone now. And the idea was, they said we had been talking about funerals and burials, and they owned cemetery plots in Albany, New York. And we decided they were going to sell those and put them on the, we were going to put our faces on the Leave a Legacy wall. They had a better chance of me visiting them in Epcot than in Albany, New York, in a cemetery. I think it was a time and a place, and I don't think anybody did it looking for approval from anybody. I think it was an emotional purchase. I think it was a fun purchase. It was a way to be a part of the park. And that's all it is. I don't think it has a lot more. I don't think we need to figure out why it's there or why people did it. They did it because they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say, anyone who was offended by what I had to personally say with it, I'm sorry, especially if it was in memorial to someone. That's not what I intended it. I just did not like the designs of it in the entrance. And sometimes we get carried away on these shows when we start dishing on something, or when we're talking about donuts. Clearly, you just listened to 5 minutes of this show. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Craig. Yeah, if you, I happen to like the walls. I like what they did with them. I like the colors. I like how it ties into vacation planning booths and the bright colors that are going on there as well. But I am 5'2", just over 5'2", and I come up to round about row 56. And some of these walls have between 90 rows and 98 rows. So that's, it depends on which wall you're looking at or which panel of the wall that you're looking at. So if you're up on row number 98, maybe bring a stepladder with you or something, have somebody give you a lift up, a leg up, to be able to see your tile. But you can always go to EpcotTileFinder.com to be able to locate your tile. And we hope that you get to see it next time you're here. But thank you for saying that, Craig.
Yeah. I had one more thing to throw into just because Chad is asking about it. As part of all the announcements made today, it was also, found out that ticket prices did increase with the parks. But I mean, that happens pretty much yearly. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to channel Pete Werner at his best since he's not here. Mm-hmm. If you're unhappy that the ticket prices went up, don't go. Stop going. But it's pretty much, they're always expected to go up every year. Even in the middle of a pandemic, I would still expect them to go up. I'm surprised they didn't go up more just for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I remember every year Pete would, like, listening way back in the day, Pete would, say something and bemoan the fact that the prices are going up. And then the light bulb just went off one year, like 2009, 2010, something like that, where he said, you know what? The prices are going up, but I'm going to keep going. So like that's a fruitless argument to have, right? So if you're irked about those prices, yeah, definitely don't go. We understand nobody likes a price increase. I mean, who does? No one. But yeah, it's going to happen. That's part of it. Real quick for my quick thing that I'm really excited about Disney-ish wise. My hubby and I went to Grand Floridian Cafe on Valentine's Day, and I have got to recommend the Florida Key Lime Pie. I love me some key lime pie. Anytime key lime pie is on the menu and I have just an ounce of room for dessert, I want to get it. This is $8. And as you can see, it is a work of art. It is a nice, thick, tart graham cracker shell, fresh strawberries, a mandarin sorbet, which is sweet and kind of tart at the same time. It's a very unique pairing to have with a key lime pie. And the meringue was lovely. So I would, if you're going to Grand Flow Cafe, put that on your list. I think you'd be really happy with it. As you can see, there's the thick meringue and the really nice key lime tart. So anyhow, one of my very, very favorites. We, real quick, as we close the show, we asked a question last week on our Facebook page, and 343 responses, 343 comments came in about this one question. And here's the question, and we're going to give you our answers and or reasoning behind our answers. If you could visit only one World Showcase pavilion during your Epcot day, so we usually have one or two Epcot days on a Walt Disney World vacation. So when during your time in Epcot, you can only visit one World Showcase Pavilion. Which one would it be and why? And I have tallied the answers, so I know which the favorite was. And I loved getting to read everybody's responses because people didn't just, I mean, some people just chimed in and didn't say why, but then there were others who really said, this is a really difficult question to answer. And so they kind of reasoned it out in the comments, which was a lot of fun to read. But would anybody like to go first about, I mean, if you could only visit one, which one and why?
I mean, I could say mine. I think for me, this is a kind of a tough answer, but I think Japan. I was trying to think of the pavilions that when I'm there that I would spend more time in. And it was a toss because Mexico, like I really like Mexican food. Obviously, I like the margaritas and stuff like that. But Japan, I also like the cuisine there. I haven't been to Kumite or, but I like all the type of food there, but I love Mitsukoshi and I really just like kind of wandering through and seeing all the different types of things that are in there and when they change. And, I like the Kauai, area too is cool. And, you know, when it's hot, you want some shave ice. It's over there. I don't know. I feel like it has a lot to offer, and it's very aesthetically is very, very. I don't know. It's a very pretty pavilion, I feel like.
Yeah, a lot of people who voted Japan said some of the same things you're saying, Rhino. Like they said, it's Mitsukoshi. It's what I can get to eat there. It's the koi ponds because just aesthetically. It's just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So, yeah, who else?
I'll go. Okay. Mine is France. In my opinion, one of the best themed areas. It's one of the ones you can go back inside and get completely lost in. Best food. And also some, even though Japan has it as well, some unique shopping back there, things you don't find everywhere. And plus it's full of French people. Who doesn't love that?
They're nice people. They're and they've nice. Got great ice cream. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And the bakery back there is fantastic. Hey, listen, I love it.
Perfect. Mm. All right, Kevin, what do you think?
I would say Germany. I find that there's a spot in Germany where you cannot see any other part of Epcot. And John and I have been lucky enough to actually visit the spot that the German pavilion is based upon. And if you get in the right spot and you can't see Spaceship Earth or any of the other things, It's true immersion. And I like German food. I like the smell of German food. So I find that I like caramel.
Say Werther's candies.
And for us diabetics, they even have sugar-free Werther's candies. So I like that. I like the fact that you sort of can get lost back there in the way it looks and all of the things around you.
Excellent. Gregory?
I've talked a lot of times about how I think France is the best World Showcase pavilion of all, and I stand by that, but I don't want to take the easy answer on it. So I'm actually going to go with what Rhino was also leaning towards, and that would be Mexico. So I think it's it's arguably also extremely well-rounded in a way. If it's raining that day that we have to go, I know I can be inside the entire day and under shelter. If, you know, I'm pretending that I have an unlimited budget and money's not a problem, which that's usually my complaints with the Mexico Pavilion as a whole, is that I don't want to spend $16 on a margarita. And in this case, I'm going to sit around and basically just drink margaritas all day. And maybe every now and then I'll go outside and I'll see the rain and appreciate it and get a margarita outside as well, or go across the way to La Hacienda for dinner and then come back inside and fall asleep on Grand Fiesta Tour a couple times. And, you know, just make a full day out of it. And I actually like a lot of the merchandise that they sell in there too. I own way more than I probably should from the Mexico Pavilion from all those little shops, but I like trinkets. I like collecting little things, and Mexico has a lot of them. And so, yeah, Mexico.
Yeah, that is trinket heaven in that pyramid. Okay. You all have touched base on all the top ones. I'm going to say minus France. I mean, Rhino and I did the whole, we went around World Showcase with a clipboard and graded every pavilion on best and worst. And France was tops for a reason. Like, so I'm there with you, John, all the way. France, it's that ice cream that cannot be beat. I'm all for a $7 hot fudge sundae in the middle of Disney's Hollywood Studios. But if you want like fancy ice cream, go to the France Pavilion and enjoy that. The boulangerie patisserie, just fantastic. And then if you add in the expansion, once that's open and you get both counter service and table service creperie and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, I mean, that just, it's already fantastic. It already has Impressions de France, which I adore and could just sit there and watch over and over again. So that's, I'm with you, John, completely on France. It was funny in the reasoning that people had. A lot of the reasoning had to do with adult beverages that can be purchased at these pavilions. Germany, we'll go from the fourth highest was Germany, and people said it's all about the caramel, it's all about the pretzels, and it's all about the grapefruit beer. So I don't know, Rhino and Craig, where you all rank the grapefruit beer,
It's like a 2% beer. It's juice.
Yeah, it's a Radler. Okay. It's a Radler. Okay. It's a Shandy. It's meant for bikers in Germany. Like bicyclists, it's meant for them to, after a nice long workout for the day, then they can sit there and sip that. It's perfect for a nice summer lunch. It is not, you know, and so I guess it makes sense in terms of Epcot, but yeah, you can get this at Publix for your hotel room, stock up for it for $9.99, whatever it costs. It costs more to get one pour there than it does to get an entire six pack. And so in this,
I have it in my refrigerator downstairs, actually.
In this example, Eli loved it. Of I'm unlimited money, I'm still saying don't even spend the money on it. But with the ice cream, I'm wondering, once the new gelato stand in Italy opens up, if they make the gelato, like, if they make it pretty authentically to like how we had it when we were in Italy, then I'm sorry, the gelato we had in Italy was better than the ice cream in the France Pavilion that they serve now. So if they can nail it like the stuff we had when we were in Italy, just going down random side streets in Rome, then I'll be very excited. Rhino ate gelato every single day.
Every day. At least once a day. More than once. But yeah.
He has a heart problem. So
you should when you're in Italy. I mean, no, I'll give you
none of those shirts fit at the end of that trip. Sorry.
That's okay. You enjoyed yourself. That's okay. Mm-hmm. No, I'll give you that, Craig, because I recently had the gelato in the Italy Pavilion for the first time. And I've had it. I've had the ice cream in the France Pavilion lots and lots and lots of times. But I've just passed by that gelato booth. Holy cannoli. That was amazing. Amazing gelato. And I understand now. So, yes. I get it. Definitely. The third highest was the France Pavilion. So John and I, our first actually came in third when tallying up everyone on Facebook. But a lot of it was having to do with the Grand Marnier slushies. So people are all over those and the crepes as well. Next, we've got Japan. Of course, it was the shop. It was the food. It was the whole nine yards. And then the very tops was the Mexico Pavilion. So, so you guys got it. It was margaritas. And I especially loved when people would comment. There were a couple of people who commented Mexico. Also, they put a selfie of them and their group in the Mexico Pavilion with their margarita, which was super cute. But everyone said Grand Fiesta Tour, margaritas, the whole nine yards. So just that was the tops. So if you could only go to one, the majority of people said they'd go to Mexico and nowhere else. Mm-hmm. So we would love to know what you guys think. So after you're done with the show, I'm sure live chat is chiming in as well about their favorites. Craig, are you watching live chat at all?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Mexico's, a lot of, you know, some Japan's, some France, obviously, a couple of Canada's thrown in there. Fiasco threw in China as his second place. A lot of United Kingdom's as well, too. I did not see any Morocco's. I don't think I saw any Italy's. I definitely didn't see any America's. But I saw
an America. Somebody said
you saw an America. Okay.
Yeah. So they said because they liked the stage and the funnel cake.
Yeah. A lot of Norway's too. Ooh. A lot of people throughout Norway for school bread. I think Frozen Ever After factors in there. I did not see any Equatorial Africa's for some reason. The most elaborate pavilion at Epcot's World Showcase.
But the best ride. You know, it has the best ride.
The bridge. That goes up and down. But yeah, no, now that we're saying it, people are throwing them out. And so now we have like an Italy in there. So it's all I think everyone has a favorite country for their own special reason. I think American Adventure, seriously, though, that's also an underrated one. And I'm not saying it as an adventurer in America right now, but I mean, if it's festival time of the year, you have concerts or you have the Voices of Liberty. The American Adventure show is just plain bonkers in a way. Yeah. Regal Eagle ate there yesterday. I have a review coming out. Still very, very happy about it. There's a lot of good there. It's just, I feel like the days of people not liking that pavilion as much need to start to subside. There's a lot of good there.
Absolutely. And if you passed by when the old quick service, you know, dining location was open and you just eventually wrote it off, cause I understand why you would have written it off. Regal Eagle really is just fantastic. So definitely put that one back on your list. And the American Adventure, great bathrooms, spacious bathrooms as well. So if that's your thing. So excellent. Yes. On Facebook, we got two for Morocco and two for the American Adventure Pavilion. So not quite as many. Yeah. But every pavilion was actually represented in the comments. So that's kind of nice. So that'll do it for our show. Please let us know in the comments below what your answer to that question would be. What would be the pavilion that you would spend the afternoon in if you could only go to one on your Epcot day? Please let us know. Please, like Craig said earlier, like and subscribe if you're enjoying what you're seeing here. And like Craig also said, if you're not, please let us know why in the comments below. Thanks so much to Kevin and John and Rhino and Craig. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you for watching and listening. We are so thankful for you, and we hope you have a great week. Bye.